I remember my dad trying to warn me. He says, you get behind the wheel of the Son, it's like having a loaded gun pointed to your head. I remember him saying that. He wanted me to be careful about driving. And I can remember other things that he taught me. And, you know, in my mind now, you know, my dad and I, we, till his death, we had a respect. We had a good relationship. And I'm so thankful for that. And so again, dads, do what you can to make sure your children are in your life. There, if I don't say anything else, this is the essence of my sermon or my lesson in this class. Quoting again from A Parent's Guide to Preventing Homosexuality, a boy has an additional development task to disidentify from his mother and identify with his father. Now, if we're going to begin talking about teaching your children, folks, parents, our time with our child is going to be limited. And by the way, it's okay to drop a lot of things to spend extra time with your children. I will tell you, when I see parents doing that, that is one of the most important things you can do. But as we talk about teaching your children, what is the one thing you want to teach your child? See, the one thing that you teach your child when you're gone and this thing is taught, what would it be? Ephesians 6:4, you know the verse. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Let me throw some things out to you, parents. Men and women, anybody, not just dads. What do you think? If you're thinking, okay, here's my children, I want to teach them about the admonition of the Lord. If you were to set a priority system, an order system, if you were to set, here's what I want to teach my children about God, what would it be? How would you do it? Give me just some feedback here. You're wanting to raise your children in the admonition of the Lord. What's your game plan? Yes.
Be active in
prayer. What's that?
Be active in prayer.
Active in prayer. Why is that? And you've hit spot on the thing you're trying to, you want to teach them that God is real. And you believe in God. And God knows you and hears you and responds to me. And I have to tell you, my dad did not do that. My dad did not attend the door of church building very much, but my mother did. And you know, I can tell you, I can remember when my brother and I were drifting into worldliness and other things, there's one thing we had in our heart. We knew God was real. So mothers, you can do this if your fathers don't, okay? But finding ways, prayer would be one way, of letting them know God is real. And so again, not complex necessarily, but very important. That's the anchor I want my children to know. The word admonition here means teaching, admonition, warning, ethical and corrective instruction in regards to belief or behavior. You've heard me say this a lot of times, but it's true. Dads, you can do this. Dads, never give up. Dads, you don't have to have the greatest talent or greatest speech in the world. You take time to be with your children. And here's the thing I want you to be mindful of. Let's look at this passage again. Very similar to the one we read earlier. But Exodus 34:6, and the Lord passed before him, proclaimed, the Lord God, notice, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Now notice this next, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. We got that phrase again. Your sons' view of what God is like will be you, dads. Okay? Their first introduction of what God is like is going to be you. What do they say? That doesn't humble us. I don't know what can, will, you know. And I've always wanted my children to understand, dads, tell me, better than me, what do you want your sons to know about you? What do you want them to know about you as long as you live and after you die? Yes.
That you do what you say.
What's that?
That you do what you say.
That you do what you say.
That you're not saying one thing out in public and then a completely different person at home.
Yeah, not being a hypocrite. Not having a mask, you know. They know what's really important to you. What else?
Love God.
Love God. See, love God. What else?
That you love them.
That you know, you can always trust me. You can always depend on me, and I'm going to do what is absolute best for you. Because I want you to succeed. Isn't that the way our God is with us? What else? There's an interesting thing. You've got the grace and the long-suffering and goodness and mercy. But what else here in verse 7? I think is important. We've already talked about it in a sense, but there's also another aspect here. By no means what? Clearing the guilty. What does that mean? Comes time for spanking, son. There comes a time for correction. There comes a time where this is right, and right is right, and there is, you know, there are times there's guilt, there's sin, there's punishment, there's forgiveness, but there is not an ignoring of right and wrong. May the Lord help us. Now, having said this, how many of you feel adequate as teachers, as fathers? I'll have to admit to you, as I understand this, I don't. I've made mistakes. I've done my best, and you know what? God will take your best and make it into something far greater than anything you and I are able to do. But can I say this? Give your best. And if you're trying to give your best, let's suppose, maybe I shouldn't use this illustration, but let's say you're a quarterback on the football team. Got room for improvement? Let's say you really got room for improvement, and the fans think you got room for improvement. Is it good to seek to be better? As a teacher, Father, do we need to get better? Now listen, don't just go, oh, I did get better, and we sit back, oh, I need to be better. What you should do is say, Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to do what I'm doing. I'm thankful for this work. Help me. There. How can you get better? Here you are, your teacher of your sons, your daughters. You want to get better. How do you get better? Closer to God. Yes.
Even a five-star athlete, you don't put a group of 11 men on the football field and every one of them is top of their class. It's practice and repetition. You've got to do it over and over. And when you mess up, you get the correction, you get the admonition, and then you do practice and repetition again and hopefully improve, incremental improvement over time.
Yeah. We keep giving our best. And, you know, you may have a father still alive. You might want to talk to him, son. You may have older in the church. We need the older to teach the younger, not just the women teach the daughters, but the fathers to teach the sons, even after you get out of the home. And this, all I'm saying here is humility. And say, Lord, help me. Let me be teachable. Worship. Worship's critical. Getting to know God better. There's so much. And matter of fact, sometimes we'll have special studies we can have to do that. There are other material. But just simply say, listen, give me greater wisdom. The biggest deal here in raising children is wisdom. And be able to understand what's really behind issues. Wisdom takes time. And Philippians 2, 3, and 4. If we were to teach one thing in terms of how you live your life, is I want my sons to be servants. And that's very interesting. You correct me if that's not a priority. I believe it is. In Philippians 2, 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let's talk about the natural tendencies of boys. Remember, we talked about this already in the first lesson. What are some natural tendencies of boys? Give me some things that, if you remember the lesson or if it just comes off your mind right now, what are boys like? What's that? They're rough. What else? Competitive. There's what I wanted to hear. We are competitors by nature. And I know sometimes, I'd be driving a bit crazy sometimes in the way I think and speak, but it's a guy thing. And sometimes women don't understand guys. We're competitive people. And sometimes, I'm going to get off on that topic. I need to stay focused here. Is being competitive compatible? Well, it is, but let me put it this way. Does being competitive have some challenges to being a servant? It does. We can be competitive and be a servant, okay? We can do both. Understand where competition is valid and good. Now, yeah, again, here's... Anyway, yes, thank you, Timothy. ready for some participation here. We need to suppress the competitive nature in a certain mindset and frame. But you know what? Within what Jesus says, would God praise you for being a servant? There is a sense where the competitive nature is to be the servant, and then you'll find fulfillment and praise of God. I know this almost seems contradictory. Can you be competitive and a servant at the same time? It's really a refocusing of that competitive. Now, I realize we can be proud and we can see who's the greater servant. I'm more humble than you are. No, you're not. I'm the most humble. I realize we could get into some weird kinds of thinking here. But there's the challenge. And if I had one area where I could wish I could work a little harder on with my own children, it would be this area, and I guess in my life too as well, that sometimes we can struggle with our own pride, and that could be transferred to our children. But this, to me, if we have a child that really finds happiness in serving others, then what a blessing. But that takes some time. That takes maturing. And I realize, and listen, there are times of parents, can I say this? We teach, we do everything, and we look and we think, nothing is getting through. And be patient here. You'll be surprised at what gets through, and it may take years for you to see it blossom, okay? I just want you to understand that. There are times, you know, your child has to grow, and what I say, there comes a point it sprouts. And you may have planted seeds for years and they're going to sprout, and so you need to be patient in this. The danger we face today in our culture is our time. And I do think we probably have more free time than we've ever had. But we also have more things competing for our free time. Let's talk about idols. In Colossians 3:5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Remember, we studied some verses earlier about idolatry. And what do we say about idolatry? Not only does it affect you, who does it affect? Your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Class, tell me about modern-day idolatry. Are we tempted by idols today at all? I say yes. Describe to me modern-day idolatry, even in this context. What's modern-day idolatry? Where you devote your time to. Now, it's covetousness here is a problem. How we handle money, brethren, big issue. Satan has snares. Did you know you can get somebody send you something in the mail and offer a credit card, and you can spend much more money than you have? Did you know that? And it's an easy payment plan. What happens? If we don't know how to control our money, what happens? You can have enormous amount of debt that it is astounding. And could I say, I'm concerned for our college students. We will have college students because of our system, and I think there's something very wrong with our system, that could come out of college with $150,000 and $200,000 in debt, and some of them are really in degrees that are not very marketable. I'm not saying you can't do that, but I'm very concerned that we get situations where even before children are brought into this world, there's such an enormous amount of debt that it's going to make a challenge to parenting. Now, let's say you're not in that. I've got a whole class on money. I don't remember if we ever taught that in the adult class or not. I know I did it with the college class. But what is the temptation right now for our time? Let's say you have a job and you've managed your debt. What challenges, dads, do we face with our time? What are the challenges? What might we do that takes away time with our children?
Work.
Yes. Now, sometimes it could be our choice. Sometimes it may be the job. And I'll say this again. I think you can make most jobs work where you can still be with your children, but if you can't, you might ought to reconsider your job. What else? Hobbies. What kind of hobbies? Some, it's golf, although not trying to embarrass golfers. I'm not aware of any golfers in the congregation, you know. But we may have a few that do much. So, but you know, there's, what's that say? Hunting, yes. There's a lot of things. It may not be things that seem that big. Like, you know, I'll have to admit to you, I'm drawn like a gnat to a light bulb sometimes in my favorite sports teams. And again, you could do that in a few minutes' time. But you also can spend a lot of time on that. Troy?
If the first thing you pick up, the last thing you lay down is your iPhone, you're probably going to control a little bit of
your time. Yes. And that, right now, I talked about that in Lesson 1 and 2, digital dungeons. We really need to rethink internet and iPhone. We really do, all of us. There's a way to use it properly. But I know there's still studies going on along these lines of how that has changed our culture. It's changed our mindset. It's changed our concentration. There's a lot still to learn here. But brethren, if we need to, let's go to flip phone. Let's do whatever we need to do. Let's watch the internet. And even with our children, we need time with our children. And we'll pick this up next week, but let's go ahead and start here. Did you know that boys need heroes? They do. Now, by the way, girls need heroes too. You know one thing that I know in dating Yvette, her hero was her grandfather, and he is a gospel preacher. And she really meant that, and I feel like there were great qualities that with Ed, you know, that I see and I appreciate. And that was so encouraging to me to know that. Who's your hero? Who's your children's heroes? In Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, saith the Lord. Who are your heroes? I can remember being close friends with David Hartzell. And that was one of the things we talked about a lot. I was very impressed with David that he would talk about biblical characters with admiration. And we would talk about that. I remember our first time we ran together, he talked about Jesus. And I'm going to use the verse today in the sermon about how Satan is coming and he has nothing in me. And that was very valuable to have. You know, if you have a dad that talks to you, you have others. And these Bible characters are real. And their character's real. And you admire them and you talk about them. And you try to get a greater insight into what they faced. And you know what? Your children will see that. My dad, he wasn't involved with Bible characters, but he loved coaching. My dad was an instructor in the military. They trained troops to take the beach on D-Day. He was the unit that trained them, and he was a sergeant. And he was a natural leader, and he loved coaches. And I'll have to admit to you that when he loved the coach and loved that team, I loved that team. And that was the one thing about my dad. I tend today, if I pull for a football team, I like the coach. But you see, who your heroes are, your children will see it. And your boys, and particularly with the fathers. If you spend time and you connect them to yourself, your heroes can become their heroes. I think this makes a good stopping point today. We'll continue with lesson 3 next week. Thank you for your participation.